Your speaker is Claude Farr.
Tonight I want to talk a few moments about evangelism. And for a text, I'd like to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now these are two parables of the kingdom that Jesus is presenting in these verses. And they have to do with what we're talking about tonight, that is with evangelism. He describes the kingdom of heaven as being like a mustard seed, the very smallest of seeds, and yet it grows into such a big herb and actually into a tree. And Jesus is talking about the growth of his kingdom. And certainly if we look at the story of the church in the book of Acts, we can see that. We see the church starting out very small, like a little grain of mustard seed, real small. And then we see it grow through the evangelistic efforts of the apostles and the others, just as Jesus described it in this parable. And then in the second parable, he said that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, that is, that a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And that's also especially appropriate when we're talking about evangelism, because evangelism really is the spreading of ideas. You take the lump of dough and you put the leaven in and just kind of spreads through it until it affects the whole. And that's really what the gospel of Christ does in the world. As we spread the ideas, the truths of God's Word, it works on in lives and in society like leaven working on a lump of dough. And so in these two parables, Jesus is talking about the spread or the growth of the kingdom. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about evangelism, a few things that I want to say. First, I'd like to just talk about the need for evangelism. There is a need for evangelism. Our world demands it. And I want us just to think for a few minutes about some of the things in our world that would suggest that there is a need for evangelism. First of all, there are the irreligious or the non-religious people in our society. I suppose if I were going to guess, I don't really know this for a fact, but if I were going to guess where you would lump most of modern American society, that probably most people you could just put in the category of the non-religious. Maybe if you didn't want to say non-religious, at least very indifferent to religion. That probably is the predominant mindset so far as the modern American person is. Most people, not necessarily anti-religion, just non-religious. Religion is not a big thing in their lives. Well, they need it. And for them, the Apostle Paul has to say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul, as he says in that verse, I didn't quote the first part of it, but as he says in that verse, was not ashamed to preach that gospel because he knew it was God's power to save. And if we look at the segment of our world today, and we see the people that are just not religious, the gospel of Christ is the power to save their souls. They need that gospel. Then there's another large segment of society in our world today, and that is the immoral. And I think probably they're more of the non-religious than they are of the, what we would really call the immoral. Everybody, I suppose, we could say has done something immoral. But generally we think of the immoral, we think of maybe a little more deeply in sin than the average person. But there are a lot of people in our society today, and I don't know whether there's more now than ever before, But there are a lot of people in our society that are living what we know very clearly to be immoral lives. Those people need the gospel. As Paul said in Romans 1 verse 16 concerning the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. And it will save the grossly immoral person just as well as it will save anyone else. And then another group of people in our world today that needs to hear the gospel are those that are in religious error. They're the non-religious. They're the people that are living immoral lives. But besides that, there are a lot of people that are religious and live what we would consider pretty good, clean lives. But they're very mistaken in their religion. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Those people's worship is not acceptable to God. Jesus talked in the same chapter about the vine leading the blind and both would fall into the ditch. And he says that every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted will be rooted up. And in both of those illustrations, he's saying that even though you're religious and even though you live a pretty good moral life, if you are teaching or following the teachings of men, then ultimately you're going to be lost. So when we talk about the need for evangelism, the condition of our world shows us that there is a need for us to be evangelistic, to carry the gospel to other people. But then the second thing tonight is I talk about evangelism. I'd like to just say that we live in an age of evangelism. And of course, I'm not speaking now strictly in the Christian sense. But it is an era of evangelistic activity. And so think with us just a little bit about some of the people that are doing evangelistic work. Certainly, the unbeliever is. The atheist and the infidel are the humanist. And probably the humanist is doing more work to evangelize than Christians are, trying to convert people to their ideas. We live in a day and time when people who stand against the Bible are very quick to stand up and speak out. They're doing, we don't usually use the word evangelism, but they're doing evangelistic work. That is, they are promoting their ideas. But not just that, the immoral are doing evangelistic work. Some of the things which 20 or 30 years ago a person would be ashamed to speak out for in our society, people very blatantly speak out for today. And so whether you're talking about people living together without being married, or whether you're talking about homosexuality or some other form of immorality, there are those in our society that are standing up and many times making front page news and are speaking out in favor of some immoral lifestyle. They're doing evangelistic work. That is, they're trying to sell their ideas to the world. And Jesus' illustration when he said that the kingdom of heaven is like a little leaven in the dough is true not only with regard to Christian teaching, but it is true with regard to the immoral teachings that are in our society. It's being spread and is influencing society. We live in a day and age in which people are doing evangelistic work, that is, they're promoting their ideas. Not only that, religious error is being promoted. And you can turn on your TV or you can talk to your neighbor in many cases, and you will find that people who are teaching religious error are not at all shy or backward about it, but they're very, very evangelistic and very zealous as they try to sell their ideas of how God ought to be served. They're doing evangelism. In recent years, we've heard a lot about the New Age philosophy. And the people who, and of course that's a big category, but the people who stand for the New Age ideas are very vocal in trying to sell those ideas to society. So when we talk about evangelism tonight, and speaking in Christian terms, that we need to be evangelistic, I want to just point out that we live in a day and age, and maybe it's always been this true, but it's certainly true today, that we live in a day and age in which people with ideas different from ours are very evangelistic, variable. But again, I think about evangelism tonight. I want to talk about the right to evangelize. Sometimes people have thought it's not quite right to evangelize, and usually you don't say evangelize, you say proselyte. That's the word that you use. I remember a number of years ago when I was testifying in a case, wasn't actually court, the judge was there though, maybe it was a court, but anyway, I was testifying, and I, of course, what I had done, the way I was connected with this family, was evangelism, from my point of view. But a lawyer for the other side used the word proselyte, that I was proselyting. Of course, now I wasn't on trial. I don't want anybody to think that. I was testifying back for somebody else. But that word, you know, we use, when we talk about evangelism, many times people call it proselyting. And what they're saying is, it's not right to do that. You should not be doing that. I just want to suggest that it is right to evangelize. It's perfectly all right for us as Christians to stand up for our beliefs. It's right, first of all, simply in the name of freedom of speech. In our country, in our society, we have the legal right to evangelize. That is, to present our ideas to other people. It's also right in the name of humanity. And I think maybe this is what Paul had in mind when he said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Paul recognized that if people did not obey the gospel, they would experience the terror of God, eternal punishment. And knowing that, he persuaded men, he preached the gospel. When we understand what it's going to be like for the people who did not hear the gospel and become Christians, in the very name of humanity, we can see our right and our responsibility, really, to preach the gospel to them. It's right to evangelize simply in the name of truth. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when the leaders were trying to stop he and John from preaching Jesus, he said, "We can but speak the things which we have seen and heard." The truth. In the name of simply saying what is right, we have the right to evangelize. I just wanted to mention those three things, though, because they're not really the important thing. They're true, but we have a divine right to evangelize. And that's where we as Christians should put our focus. The Bible tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Or as the same thing is put, but a little differently, in the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We have a divine right, yea, a divine obligation laid upon us to preach the gospel to others. Now, there are a lot of ways to do evangelistic work. And we do work here. We can talk in terms of our foreign missions, and that's one way that we do evangelistic work and sending people in foreign fields. Evangelistic work can be done through church programs. Sometimes we have gospel meetings or personal work programs and that sort of thing. A lot of different ways to do evangelistic work and a lot of effective ways. And through the years, it seems that in the church, you know, we've gone with one way, and then later we have an emphasis on another way. A number of years ago, it was personal evangelism, and that was the key. Back before that, it was gospel meetings. Now there's a lot being said about the media, and the One Nation Under God that we're having a part of is an effort, of course, an evangelistic, nationwide evangelistic effort. But always, it seems, and the people that have done studies of evangelism, always the really most effective evangelistic work seems to have been done when people are talking to their friends and their neighbors and their co-workers. Not personal evangelism in the sense that you're door knocking, but personal evangelism in that you're talking to the person that you already know, your neighbor, your a member of your family. And so I'm emphasizing evangelism tonight, and that's really the part of evangelism that I want to emphasize. The importance to each one of us not being involved so much in a formal group effort in evangelism. Those things are good. I'm not against those. But each of us as Christians, we have a responsibility to do what now the term is friendship evangelism. Evangelistic among those that we know and that we associate with on a day-to-day basis. And I want to just mention a few vital things about evangelism. And I mention these things not so much that you set up a Bible study with somebody and you sit down and you study this with them. I want to mention a thing or two, though, that you need to just in your regular association with people. Some ideas that you need to try to get across that seem at least to me to be important. I want to mention a thing or two at least. First of all, when you're trying to do evangelistic work in our day and time, probably in most cases, the thing you need to do is try to make a person aware of God. I said a little bit earlier that probably most people in our society would fall in the category of the non-religious, or at least not very religious at all. When we try to do evangelistic work among people that we know and associate with, probably one of the first things that we need to do is to try to increase a person's awareness of God. Most people in our society live their lives and God doesn't have very much to do with it at all. Now, when there's a death in the family, then they have a little bit of thought about God or some tragedy. But generally, God is not in their thoughts. And you may be very effective in reaching others for Christ if you and your normal association with people, and when the opportunity presents itself, in some way would try to insert a little leaven in that mind. Try to just insert the idea that there's a God. A lot of ways you can do that. Just when a person is discussing whatever. Whatever crisis is coming up, whatever tragedy, whatever is being talked about. Usually, if you want to, you can turn to your faith in God and say something about God. Try to put God in people's minds. A person is never going to be brought to Christ unless they have an awareness of God in their minds and in their hearts. One of the first things that in our society, at least, now this has not always been true. Used to, we could kind of take it for granted that people were aware of God. But in our society, in the way most people are today, one of the most effective things, that, from my point of view, or the first things that we need to do is to help people become aware of God. And when you can do that, then you may be able to move from that to some other thing. Another thing that we need to learn to do as we talk to people is to help people to see two things. To be convicted of their sins and understand the forgiveness that is offered in Christ. Now, I don't think that you have to sit down, and this is the way we usually do it, the way preachers do it anyway. Usually we sit down with our Bible and we read a passage of Scripture. And then we will talk about to people about sin and try to convict people of their sins. And we'll talk about the salvation or the redemption that they have in Christ. And that's good. And if you can get somebody to sit down with the Bible and do that, then that's what you ought to do, of course. But even without sitting down at a Bible study, we need to train ourselves. We all need to train ourselves to convict people of sin and to let them know about the greatness of forgiveness. And you know, there'll be a lot of occasions, if you'll just kind of put your antenna up, be a lot of occasions in which you're discussing something with somebody that's in the news or so forth, and something that is wrong or sinful, where you can simply turn the thing, if you want to, that, you know, that is terrible. But you know, we all, even we have, I've done things wrong, you can say that. I've done things wrong in my life. And fortunately, for the wrongs that I did, maybe we could say of our youth or whenever, for those wrongs, fortunately, in Christ, I know that I'm forgiven. And so you can take a current event that you're talking to a friend over a cup of coffee that you read in the newspaper, you can take that if you'll learn to do it. If we'll learn to do it, I don't mean you, me too, if we'll learn to do it, we can take those things and we can turn them. And without sitting down and having a formal Bible study with somebody, we can talk to them about the fact that all men are sinners. Yes, this person that we read about in the paper, but you know there's sin, and I've done some wrong things too. Fortunately, in Christ, I've been forgiven. And you can do that in normal conversation without being offensive. and you don't know, it might be that you'll touch a heart. Some people may recoil from that, and that'd be the end of it. But it might be that you'd touch a heart, and they'd want to know more. And then you can go with more intensity. Another thing that we need to emphasize in talking with people is the importance of the change of a lifestyle. We call it repentance. And it's possible that you can be talking to somebody just in your normal conversation about the way people live and talk about the necessity of changing one's lifestyle and living right, because someday we're going to give an account to God for the way that we've lived. But tonight I just wanted to say a few words about evangelism, emphasize that we need to be doing evangelistic work. Not so much that we have a program that we're trying to sell about evangelism. And not so much that we need to have more personal Bible studies with people, and that's great if you can do that. I just want to emphasize tonight the importance of evangelism, and just on the basis of our day-to-day contact with people, and try to learn what to say in order to trigger an interest in things divine, that a person might want to know more and then become a Christian. We need, as God's people, to be alert to the opportunities to do evangelistic work. It might be that there's a person here tonight that's not a Christian. You need to put your faith in God and in Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and then be baptized for the remission of sins.